We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Oh, it's so difficult, looking back in church history, to figure out, or at least it seems to be difficult to figure out, what's actually going on at the cross. And you don't even really have to look back in church history, do you? You get somebody like Robert Schuller or Joel Osteen, big preachers of past and present, saying that what's going on at the cross is a demonstration, an object lesson. God is simply showing us how much he loves us. It's kind of like a Valentine. The cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing's really happening there, but it's a demonstration. Now, others would say it was an accident. Others would say that it was a moral example to be followed. And some would say that when Jesus is there dying on the cross, he's not dying for all. We're going to be talking about false views of the atonement with Dr. Stephen Hine, the conclusion of our five-part daily series with him on the cross of Christ. Welcome back to Issues Etc. this Friday afternoon. It's the 27th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, and he taught theology for more than two decades at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good to begin with you to wrap up our series here this week.
Well, at long last, we have talked in great depth about the proper biblical view of the atonement from all different perspectives. Now we turn to some of the false views of the atonement, or they're sometimes called theories of the atonement. You said last time that these false views are usually based in a deficient view of man's sin and accountability before God. What did you mean?
Well, we wanted to indicate that when the scriptures want to talk about the problem of sin, they do it in some pretty extreme forms of terminology, as well as it being multifaceted. We mentioned last time when we were talking about redemption and how that must be always combined with what the biblical picture also presents of the atoning work of Christ. By indicating that sin is a two-edged sword, as it were. Some of the scriptures provide us an insight into the problem of sin and see our role and responsibility of that as perpetrators, as enemies of God, so that the scriptures tell us that while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And yet there is another set of language that presents to us a picture in which we are victimized by sin. So St. Paul can indicate in Romans 7:13 that he is a sinner, and then he sketches that out, sold as a slave to sin. And therefore, as we have looked at both atonement and redemption, we have noted how God's saving activity both takes care of our guilt as we are enemies and perpetrators of God, reconciling and justifying us for the sake of Christ, and at the same time redeeming us from the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Most of the false views that have been perpetrated about the saving work of Christ have done one of two things. Either they have looked at the problem of sin, and they have chosen to see us as victims, but not as perpetrators. Or they have seen the problem of sin as entirely more casual, such that all we need is either some help from God or some good advice and some inspiration, and we can overcome the problem with that kind of input. And then Jesus then becomes the supplier of these much more genteel forms of helping us get out of our own problem of sin.
Okay, let's deal with some of these false theories, beginning with the more common and then working toward the more obscure as time permits. The first one is usually called the declaration theory, in which Jesus died to show us something. God's love, God's persistence, one of those things, but he died to show us something. It's very common. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, this is a view that was very prominent in Europe toward the latter part of the 19th century, and it was very much a part also of the 20th century in more liberal Protestant circles, even in the United States. It was a very romantic sort of view, which understood basically the problem of sin and evil in the world as an environmental problem. An environmental problem upon which we needed basically from God some encouragement and some example. And Jesus' death on the cross, in this particular view, becomes an inspirational display which reveals to us God's love for us and the kind of love that we ought to have for him. And that the combination of his love for us and our love for him can become a progressive redemptive force in human history, almost in a Darwinian sort of way, so that we can kind of evolve eventually through the love of God and the love of man joining together to bring about progressively the kingdom of God here on earth.
Closely related to it is what's called the moral example theory.
Yeah.
In other words, this is intended to be kind of an object lesson to sway man's moral sensibilities?
Yes. Again, there are a number of these views which kind of overlap one another, but this is the example, the moral example theory, where Jesus is the example of the true believer. And the true believer who can be both the example and the one who inspires us is the one who is so committed to the just cause that they would even sacrifice their life in the service of that. Jesus becomes the martyr. He becomes the one who is the example who inspires us to give our all as he gave his all in overcoming the problems of evil as they afflict and victimize us in our environment around us. As Jesus makes the ultimate sacrifice to the cause of goodness and godliness with his death on the cross, then he becomes that moral example that we too should make that kind of a commitment and go all out as we might be instruments of God to affect the same kind of influence and change in our world as well.
And then the third in this kind of unholy trinity of false views of the atonement has been classically called the governmental theory, but instead of God showing his love at the cross of Christ, he's actually showing his wrath to mankind at the cross of Christ.
Yes, this is where God supposedly makes Jesus kind of a negative example of how it is that sin displeases him, and as if the cross is not a picture of God's mercy, but just simply his wrath against sin. This presents not God as the positive example, but the negative example. That the cross really shows how God forsook Jesus because of his displeasure with Jesus, not because of his displeasure with our sin. We know that the biblical picture is that who knew no sin became sin for us, and that the wrath of God that Jesus takes upon is that which is due us, not due him. He becomes the innocent who suffers for the guilty. But in this particular theory, Jesus doesn't suffer for us. He suffers for himself.
Now, this one seems to have a something of a kernel of truth in it, but the kernel is so small as to be almost imperceptible. That in fact, I mean, it does affirm the wrath of God, and it does affirm that God punishes sin in his son, Jesus Christ, but then it goes terribly wrong after that, doesn't it?
Right. It has the sacrifice notion, it has the atonement notion, but it leaves out the all-important vicarious atonement notion, the innocent paying the price for the guilty, which of course means, therefore, the cross is of no benefit for us whatsoever. It just simply is a negative lesson that we ought to mind our P's and Q's so that we don't deserve this, so that we don't get the same. But Jesus no longer is a savior from anything there.
In the I'll talk about this one on the other side of the break, but in the vein of kind of cross as inspiration, nowadays it's cross as inspiration to help you love God or see how much God loves you or live a better moral life. There's an old theory of the atonement called the guarantee theory that Jesus died on the cross to win followers. He did it as kind of a publicity stunt to gain followers for himself. You know, a lot of Christians will kind of unwittingly hold this view of the atonement. It's not even an atonement, really. It's just Jesus did this to try and inspire us to follow him, whether it's his moral example or simply be followers of him. With only about a minute here before the break, begin a response to that, Jesus inspiring a following.
Yeah, this is Schleiermacher's thing, who wishes to say that our biggest problem of sin is simply that we snubbed God, okay? It's a fellowship problem, nothing more than that. And Jesus has this movement, basically, through his disciples and everything else, for the purpose simply of helping to restore a fellowship and a sense of dependence upon God, even unto death. And Jesus, again, is the example who is going to inspire us to become his followers and therefore gain or regain a sense of dependence and a deep fellowship with God.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. He's director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, and he taught theology for more than two decades at Concordia University, Chicago. All of these false theories are deficient because they reduce Jesus to kind of a celebrity or Martin Luther King Jr. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org. And click on-demand audio.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Another story of hope from ethical stem cell research in China.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Chinese scientists have reported much success from ethical stem cell research, and Americans are reaping the benefits. Take Casey Sally, a 9-year-old from Mountain Home, Arkansas, born with an underdeveloped optic nerve. After receiving umbilical stem cell transfusions in China, Casey can see more every day, and her parents work with her to train her eyes to look in one direction and focus on shapes. This is another example of how ethical stem cell treatment that doesn't involve the taking of human embryonic life holds tremendous promise.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're concluding our 5-part daily series on the cross of Christ today, false views of the atonement. A lot of them overlap with one another, and all of them seem to reduce Jesus to inspiration, example, exemplar, someone to be admired, or perhaps held up as a bellwether or a warning, but not a savior and not a blood sacrifice atoning for our sins. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies. Dr. Hine, we were talking about the guarantee theory before, that Jesus is trying to garner a fellowship. It sounds like this kind of puts Jesus in the category of Martin Luther King Jr. or Gandhi or other great martyrs to causes.
Yes, exactly. Here is the one who becomes the man among men. He is the ideal who we ought to follow. We ought to see his life as that which is inspirational to us, as well as empowering, upon which we are to see ourselves as following in his footsteps. And again, the death on the cross simply becomes the example of someone who is willing to make the biggest sacrifice for the things that he believes in and that he thinks that are noble, that we also ought to think that way and enlist our resources. And together we can all pull it off. We can conquer the evil forces that threaten us.
What is fundamentally, in all these we've talked about so far, they all have a similar ring to them. What is the fundamental problem of Jesus' moral example at the atonement, or Jesus trying to teach us something at the atonement, or Jesus trying to show us God's wrath, right, or garner a following?
Yeah. The biggest problem with all of these is that they all presume that the problem of evil that we are up against is something that if we can simply become dedicated enough, if we simply can be to put all of our resources to work, we have the ability to overcome these. And Jesus simply becomes the coach. He becomes the inspiration. He becomes the how-to guy who is going to teach us how and inspire us to obtain this victory that we can do on our own. In other words, it wants to say that the problem of sin is considerably something less than death. Death is just not a problem that is in the cards that God is overcoming for us. And rather, sin is understood usually in a social sense, and usually in a sense not so much that points to our guilt, but points rather to those things that victimize us, but we can rise up against them and get the victory.
This one sounds good. I wonder if it is good, the martyr theory?
The martyr theory, again, fits in just with these very same other images. It's the same kind of thing that we think in terms of all of modern-day martyrs who have died for the sake of the things that they believe in, who have made the ultimate sacrifice for truth and opposed the evil forces and spirit of the day. Whether we would think of Martin Luther King or of Gandhi or of whomever, the martyr theory has Jesus becoming, through his death, the inspiration to carry on so that his death is not seen as in vain. And we are all to be enlisted there out of his memory and inspired by his dedication. And it is our job to validate his life and to give meaning to his death, that he didn't die for nothing.
But none of these theories really require a resurrection for the death to have its full impact, do they?
No, and virtually all of these theories carry with it the idea that Jesus never got out of the grave. That is, all of these views that we have been looking at here so far all deny the resurrection. They also all deny the deity of Christ as well.
I want to get to a subtle one here in a moment, but let's deal with a simple one first, the accident. It was just an accident.
Yeah. Yes. This wants to reduce the cross just to that. The cross has no inherent meaning in itself at all. Bad things happen. People have written books on the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And, of course, that's always understood as a big conundrum where, in the final analysis, we don't know. And the cross is just simply another one of those examples of for reasons that we just can't fully fathom. Here is another example of a really bad, tragic thing happening to a very good person. Maybe also conjuring up that old slogan on how nice guys finish last. And the cross of Christ is just more example about how, for no rhyme or reason, that seems to be the case. A very depressing view.
Here is one that really is subtle because it so closely apes the proper view of the atonement without actually getting to it. It's usually called nominalism, that God is somehow cutting a deal with himself.
Yes, this was a view that popped up actually about 100 years before Luther, and actually before Luther discovered Paul's understanding of the cross. Luther himself was a disciple of this particular view. It's the view that everything that we see going on the cross and everything about God's saving plan has nothing to do actually about the intrinsic nature of the problem of sin and the intrinsic nature of God in terms of how God must react and respond to that in terms of his holiness. But rather, simply what we are seeing, both about sin and grace, are just covenants or ideas or concepts that God has committed himself, quite unto himself. In other words, these are the rules that he simply decides to play by, whether that relates either to condemnation or whether that relates to salvation by his grace. And so Jesus is just simply one who comes into the world playing by the rules that God has set down for himself, by which he then is going to make the choice to be gracious to sinful human beings.
And where exactly does this one fall short? I mean, while you're answering that, please highlight for us the real event of the vicarious atonement at the cross for us with about a minute, Dr. Hine.
Okay. There's two sides to that particular issue. The first thing is that it isn't arbitrary rules. It's the very nature of God over against that which is evil and sin that produces that alienation. In other words, this is not something that is arbitrary, but something that factors into the very nature of God himself. The wages of sin is death, not just simply because God has set up arbitrary rules, but because God must be consistent with his very own nature. He can't do anything that is against his nature.
And then, okay? And then the true view with only 30 seconds, Dr. Hine?
Right. Well, that is the true view, okay? And therefore, God's justice is not arbitrary, okay? It is an absolute standard, and it flows out of his nature as being both just and merciful. Jesus suffers and dies on the cross. It is on the cross while he is still alive that he is alienated from the Father, paying the wages of sin there. And when Jesus says, "It is finished," and gives up his spirit, okay, then atonement has been fully and completely made. Nothing more need be done. The full price has been paid.
Folks, if you've enjoyed our series this week with Dr. Stephen Hine on the cross of Christ, please partner with us by making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. You can make an online donation at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also make a contribution by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, and he taught theology for more than two decades at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, thank you so much for all your time.
Thank you very much, Todd, and God's blessings to you and to our listeners this Lenten season.
Something actually happened there at the cross. Christ actually paid the price. It was no demonstration. It was no object lesson sent from heaven. It is, in fact, a window into the very nature of God that what happened there at the cross, a perfect life laid down, blood shed, a body sacrificed for you and for me. When you see this, you are seeing who God is. It's not plan B. It's not an accident. And it's not just a theory. It is a fact. There at the cross, we are seeing God's own nature, saving, forgiving, loving, atoning in His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.